Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. Purport. If happiness is the ultimate goal of life, one must be satisfied with the position in which he is placed by Providence. This instruction is also given by Prahlad Maharaj. Sukham indriyakam daitya deha yogena dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivad yatha dukham ayatnataha. My dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 3. This philosophy is perfect in regard to obtaining happiness. Real happiness is described in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 6, Text 21. Sukham atyantikam yattad buddhi grahyam atindriyam veti yatra na chaivayam sthitas chalati tattvatah. In the spiritually joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. One has to perceive happiness by the super senses. The super senses are not the senses of the material elements. Every one of us is a spiritual being, Aham Brahmasmi. And every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are now covered by material elements. And because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses. The real senses, however, are within the material covering. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. Within the covering of the material elements are the spiritual senses. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. When the spiritual senses are uncovered, by these senses we can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is thus described. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. When the senses are engaged in devotional service to Rishikesh, then the senses are completely satisfied. Without this superior knowledge of sense gratification, one may try to satisfy his material senses, but happiness will never be possible. One may increase his ambition for sense gratification and even achieve what he desires for the gratification of his senses. But because this is on the material platform, he will never achieve satisfaction and contentment. According to Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without special endeavor and should cultivate spiritual consciousness. Then he will be happy. The purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. People who do not have scientific spiritual knowledge mistakenly think that the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are escapists trying to avoid material activities. In fact, however, we are engaged in real activities for obtaining the ultimate happiness in life. If one is not trained to satisfy the spiritual senses and continues in material sense gratification, he will never obtain happiness, that is eternal and blissful. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 1, therefore recommends Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shuddhyet yasmat brahma saukhyam tvanantam. One must practice austerity so that his existential position will be purified and he will achieve unlimited blissful life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Some very very instructive lessons here for the whole world, given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has already spoken in the previous verses that if a person's senses are not controlled, then even if he obtains the entire world or the entire universe, he will not be happy. And Lord Vamanadeva continues and he says that if I were not satisfied with these three paces of land, then even if I had one island on the earth planet, even to possess one island is a big thing. But the island that he's talking about is a planet, because it's an island in space, Dvipa. So he says, even if I were to have an entire planet, I would not be satisfied, because I would then hope to get the other planets. So in other words, better to be satisfied with these three paces of land. And he says, the history is full of powerful kings who were kings of the whole universe, but they could not achieve satisfaction. They could not achieve the end of their ambitions. Therefore, he concludes in the verse of today that one should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, because discontent can never bring happiness. For one who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. So satisfaction in this world is a very elusive thing. It doesn't come easily, but actually it's easier than we think. Satisfaction is a state of mind. It's all in the mind, Prabhu. So, interestingly and significantly, Krishna describes satisfaction, because satisfaction is the name of the game as far as Lord Vamanadeva is concerned. He's speaking about how important it is to be satisfied with whatever the Lord has provided or with whatever destiny has brought in its wake. Now in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken about, among other things, austerity. He speaks about austerities of the body, austerities of speech, and also austerities of the mind. So I'd just like to read this verse and also what Prabhupada says about satisfaction with regard to austerities of the mind. Manaha prasadaha saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhir ityetat tapo manasam uchyate. Srila Prabhupada's translation. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. And Prabhupada's purport. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can always think of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity in thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. In the present age, we unnecessarily engage the mind in so many different ways for sense gratification. And so, there is no possibility of the mind's becoming satisfied. The best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and the Mahabharata. One can take advantage of this knowledge and thus become purified. The mind should be devoid of duplicity, and one should think of the welfare of all. Very interesting and useful purport. So, austerity of the mind involves the following things: satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence. And the central theme here is, in order that this be achieved, the mind must be kept away from sense enjoyment. And one's mind must be focused alternatively, therefore, on a higher taste. And Prabhupada mentions here the Vedic literature. The Vedic literature is full of varieties of messages and stories and pastimes which can give us complete satisfaction. So instead of diverting our minds to the innumerable sources of sense enjoyment available within this world, and then getting no satisfaction eventually, it is better to focus one's mind on devotional Vedic literature. Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. So today, the society is geared towards exclusively doing just that, to making the mind more and more dissatisfied. That's what the whole advertising propaganda is. If anyone works in the advertising and marketing field, you will know that basically your business is to create a demand even where none exists. To create an unnecessary desire in the minds of people that you just buy this, you need it, you can't do without it. Although you've lived happily enough without it all your life. But now this new product comes up and you can't do without it. And there's more and more and more. So we are bombarded every day with advertising, with a whole array of products in the supermarket that tell us, just take this, take this, take this, and do this, do this, do this. And then the modern liberal philosophy urges us to do anything and everything to become happy. And that is just about the last thing we should do to become happy. By doing anything and everything in the pursuit of happiness, we actually become dissatisfied, increasingly so. So this increasing dissatisfaction of the mind is termed by the modern world as progress. So to the degree that the society is able to increasingly agitate the minds of people and induce them to move into newer and newer varieties of sense enjoyment, by which they will eventually become even more dissatisfied, that is considered progress. So to present a larger variety of opportunities for sense gratification and therefore larger number of opportunities for dissatisfaction is the business of the modern civilization. So is this really civilization? That's the moot question. Real civilization is a civilization not that increases the wants of humanity, but it is a civilization that helps the citizens transcend the wants. Success and happiness in the modern materialistic world is gauged according to how you can increase your wants, your consumption. But Vedic civilization is based on the principle of how you can transcend your wants, go beyond and minimize your wants, and therefore live a simple life. If you don't do that, then there is no possibility of any happiness. So this is the austerity of the mind. Another place where the simplicity, the description of simplicity comes is when Krishna speaks about the qualities of his devotees in chapter 12, text 13 onwards up to 19 or 20, he goes on, describes very beautifully. And he says, santushto yena kena chit, that a devotee of the Lord is always satisfied in any circumstance. Yena kena chit means whatever be the material circumstances, then the devotee is satisfied. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport what this means. He gives an example. He says, sometimes one may get palatable food and sometimes one may not, but one should be satisfied. In this way, whatever opportunities are available for one's sense enjoyment, or whether they are not available, one should be detached. In the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing his various opulences, he mentions that all qualities in this world come from him. Whether they are good qualities or bad qualities, ultimately Krishna is a source of all of them. And then he speaks about satisfaction, tushti. Of course, we won't go into the other qualities, it's a big topic. But I'll just mention this one point, tushti, which means satisfaction. So Krishna is saying that the quality of tushti also comes from me. And here is how Srila Prabhupada describes or defines satisfaction or simplicity. Satisfaction, tushti. Quote, tushti, satisfaction, means that one should not be eager to gather more and more material goods by unnecessary activity. One should be satisfied with whatever is obtained by the grace of the Supreme Lord. That is called satisfaction. So, what is satisfaction? That one should not be eager to gather more and more material goods by unnecessary activity. Some very, very practical instructions here. Spiritual life is not something impractical. And of course, because the mind has unlimited desires, So there's no limit to what we want. So better to just curb those desires and be satisfied with what destiny has provided to us here and now. So Narad Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam instructs his disciple Vyasadeva by saying, Tasyaiva hetoh prayateta kovido na labhyate brahmatam yattu varyatah tal labhyate dukkhavat anyatah sukham kalena sarvatra kabira ramhasa. He says, my dear sage Vyasadeva, one should aspire for that thing, especially an intelligent person who is philosophically inclined, kovidaha, tasya eva prayateta. Such a kovidaha, such an intelligent philosophical person, must certainly strive for that thing which is not obtained even by traveling throughout the universe. Brahmati upari adhaha. Upari means the topmost planet, adha means the lowermost planet. Brahman means to move. So one should endeavor for that purposeful end or purpose which cannot be obtained merely by wandering throughout the universe. In other words, material endeavor will not give us satisfaction. One should not simply be engaged in material activities, in the search of happiness, material happiness. Tal dukkhavat anyatah sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ramhasa, which means that this material happiness that we are seeking will come automatically, uninvited in our life, just as the distress comes in our life uninvited. Nobody invites distress. We never come in the front of the Supreme Lord. Nobody goes to a temple or a church or a mosque or nobody prays to the Lord, oh Lord, please give me distress. It's been such a long time. You've given me some distress in life. Why are you so partial? Why not just give me a little distress? Nobody ever prays like that. But distress comes of its own accord. Similarly, happiness will also come of its own accord. Happiness and distress, after all, are two sides of the same coin. Therefore, by logic, it is clear that if distress comes of its own, happiness will also come of its own. When distress goes, it goes of its own. So the happiness that comes will also go of its own, so we should not lament. We should not rejoice when happiness comes, and we should not lament when the happiness goes away. Similarly, we should not lament when the distress comes and rejoice when the distress goes away. These things are going to come and go according to our destiny. So therefore Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukhadukkhadaha agama payino nityas tamstitikshasva bharata. That, O sign of Bharata, the happiness and distress of this world will come and go like the coming and going of the winter seasons, winter and summer seasons. So one must learn to tolerate these things without being disturbed. So simplicity, tolerance, etc., they're all interconnected, you see. You have one, you have the other. To be simple, to have satisfaction, you have to have simplicity. To have satisfaction, you must have tolerance. You must tolerate the dualities of life, which will inevitably be thrust upon us in this world. And when we do not have these qualities of satisfaction, then we would be always disturbed. So Narad Muni is advising Vyasadeva that the human being should therefore strive for something spiritual. The human being should be satisfied with whatever is materially his lot, so to speak. and instead focus the precious energy and time of human life in the task of self-realization. The similar principle, similar point is being made by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, and this is quoted by Srila Prabhupada here, that the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life, according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. So this happiness-distress business is something natural, the coming and going business. So coming and going means that it is temporary. If it's come, it will go. But the spiritual platform is that which, having come, will stay. Or rather, we shouldn't say having come, it's already there, but we haven't realized it. That which is always there will always stay. That which needs to come will go. But that which is always there will remain there. So therefore, the eternal bliss that we all experience, our hankering to experience, is already there within. It's just a process of uncovering it by the process of Krishna consciousness. The direct process is to chant Hare Krishna and to serve Krishna in numerous ways as given by the acharyas in the scriptures. But simultaneously the scriptures also tell us practical programs according to which our lifestyle has to be arranged. Otherwise, lack of satisfaction will not only destroy our peace of mind, it will destroy our happiness, and it will destroy our prospects for spiritual progress. Long time ago, I remember hearing the story of this one person who was about to die, and he had no heirs. So he had huge property, and he was wondering, what should I do with it? So he said, okay, let me give it to the most deserving person. So he advertised. He said, I will give away as much land to anyone who can run around it. You should start at sunrise and you should be back by sunset. And within this time period, you should run around my land. And whatever the area you are able to cover by running around, that is your land. So he must have had thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. So then some people came and they got a little land and went away. And there was one man who came. He was greedy. So he started running early morning, running and running and running and running. And then he was running all day. He was getting tired, but that greed was so overwhelming, he couldn't stop. So he was running more and more, and then he saw the sun had crossed the meridian. It was now no more overhead, it was moving down. It was time to head back, because he wouldn't have got back before sunset. And the condition was that if you come even one moment after sunset, you lose everything, you get nothing, zero. So he should have started heading back, but he didn't. He was thinking a little more, a little more, a little more. And he went on and on and on and on. And then he said, yes, it's time. The sun is now about to set. And he began to run, as he was really tired all day running like that. Finally, he just about made it. He covered a huge amount of land. And he just about made it, but he was so exhausted, he fell down and died. So that's the story of our greed. That's all we achieve at the end of the day. Death. No lasting benefit to anyone. So greed is one of those things by which Maya traps us, actually. Do you know how a monkey is trapped? You know, a monkey is very restless, so it's very hard to get hold of a monkey. So it's a very interesting, simple but ingenious method. What the hunter does is, he keeps a jar which has a long neck, a long slim neck. And the monkeys are always watching. So the monkeys like to eat sweet berries from the trees. So the hunter, in full view of the monkey, he places some delicious berries into the jar. Okay, one by one, and the monkey is watching carefully. So as he places the berries in the jar, and then the hunter goes away and he hides somewhere, watching from a secret place. And the monkey looks around, sees, okay, he's gone. So he jumps down, he comes in and puts his hands into the jar. And he grabs hold of the berries. It's a fistful. And now he wants to bring the fist out, but he can't. Why? Because the neck of the flask is narrow, and the flask is fitted to the ground, so he can't carry the flask away. So he tries to pull it and pull it and pull. He doesn't have the sense to realize that I should just let go and then I can remove my hand. Meanwhile, the hunter approaches. He's seeing the hunter coming, but he doesn't want to let go. He thinks he wants the cake. What's the saying? He wants to have the cake and eat it too, yes? So he's trying, and then eventually, because he doesn't want to let go, he's trapped, caught by the hunter, loses his life. So similarly, because we don't want to let go in this world, we want more and more and more, therefore we destroy our peace of mind and eventually destroy our very life. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the 24 gurus of the Avadhut Brahmana, Shiksha gurus, he sees them all in nature. You know, the pigeon, the sea, the ocean, the wind and so on. All these are his Shiksha gurus. And one of them is the hawk. So the hawk one time was about to eat a piece of meat that he had caught. And a bigger hawk spotted that. You know, hawks have sharp vision. Therefore you say he has got a hawk's eye on something. So the bigger hawk, much more powerful, he saw this hawk with that piece of meat and he swooped down. And many other hawks also saw it and they all started swooping down on him. And they were about to attack him because they wanted the meat. So this hawk was intelligent. He understood that actually they don't want me, they want the meat. But because they want the meat, they're going to attack me. So if I want to save myself, then I should let go of the meat. So understanding his true welfare, he let go of the meat and withdrew from the place. And sure enough, he was safe and secure. So in this world, sometimes it is important to let go and not be attached to accumulating more and more. Just be satisfied with providence. Providence has given us less today. It may give us more tomorrow. So whether there is less or more, eventually that is not the source of our happiness. The source of our happiness is Krishna consciousness. So by cultivating satisfaction, one remains stable in this material world, and one can then remain enthusiastic for serving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport that thoughts of sense enjoyment reduce our enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. So one's mind is absorbed in thoughts of sense enjoyment, one loses that spirit, the enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Therefore, at a practical level, one may follow Vamanadeva's instructions and try to be satisfied with whatever Providence has given to us now, and save our valuable time and energy for serving Krishna. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. Are there any questions, comments?